Are we okay? Ephesians chapter 5. I want to talk to you. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? How to check and see if you're filled with God's Holy Spirit. You know, that is the third person of the Trinity. You know that. You're a tripart being. You are body. I'm looking at you. You're soul. And you also are a what? A spirit. And God is a Trinity. It is God, and He refers to Himself as Almighty God the Father, God the Word that became flesh, the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that maybe we need to be very aware of is that this third person of the Godhead, this person of the Trinity, wants to fill us. And it is a phenomenal thing. This is actually going to be two parts to it, how to check and see if you're actually filled with God's Holy Spirit or whether you're on empty. So we're going to talk about that over the next 2 weeks. Ephesians 5:18. Let's look at this verse right in your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine. I mean, you had that in your past. You know how to get drunk. A lot of people, you know, the more you drink, the harder it is to get drunk. The more you mess with drugs, the more drugs you have to take to get that buzz and get high. I know how it works. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein always is what? Always excess. You can't do a little wine anymore. You can do a little murder or a little adultery. The Bible says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. If I drank an entire bottle of Chardonnay, would I be trustworthy to drive? No, if I got filled with drink, you wouldn't trust me on a bicycle, would you? Okay. But you can get filled with the Holy Spirit and you'd be the most solid, dependable person on this planet. See, the filling of things of this world ruin you. The filling of the Holy Spirit will fix you. We're going to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these are practical lessons. The past several weeks, we've been talking about Christian life and Christian living. We've learned about memorizing and meditating on Scripture. That is absolutely 100% vital. The world, you sit down in front of the television and for 3 hours just you're bombarded with information. You can't process it all. I mean, used to be 100 years ago, people would read a book. If they would process things line by line. You'd have a conversation and you'd process things. Now you're watching something. You can't remember what you saw 10 minutes ago. So we've been learning about memorizing and meditating on Scripture to get our mind right, to fix our way of thinking. We've also learned about personalizing Scripture. When you read your Bible, put your feet in the shoes of the author. Read it like it was written to you instead of just, well, it's just written. No, it's written to the reader. I mean, the Bible says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Who's that verse written to? The parents? It did not say, parents, make your children obey. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, children, obey your parents. It was written to kids, wasn't it? So, personalize the Scripture. Make sure you're reading it like it's written to you. Thirdly, we've been talking about walking in the Spirit. Actually, walking with a spiritual mindset instead of only a sight mindset or a physical mindset. Now we're learning about being filled with God's Holy Spirit. We're commanded to be filled with it. Be not drunk with wine, but rather be filled with the Holy Spirit. And a Christian's life, and I just want to make it clear, a Christian's life is spiritual just as much as it is physical. Is it important for us to eat? Amen. Is it important for us to get rest? Amen. It is physically important to have things that provide food, that provide exercise. If you just lay in bed all day, all you're going to do is get sicker and sicker and sicker. What do they do in the hospital these days? As soon as you come in, and as soon as they treat you, what do? They get you back out. Because the worst thing for you to do is just sit there, unless it's, very bad. A Christian life is just as much spiritual as it is physical. And what I mean by this is, if you and I are not right spiritually, nothing we do in the flesh will amount to anything. You may be able to balance all your checkbooks. You may be able to manage money. You may be able to keep the car running like a Jaguar. You may be able to design houses and buildings. But it'll amount to nothing at the end of the day if you're not doing it in the Spirit as a Christian. So when we're looking at this thing, we're looking at the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some background on the Holy Spirit. The first thing I want you to see is you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. How many of you are saved tonight? How many of you know you're born again? All right. How many of you know you're born the first time? If you're born the first time, you're here right now. Amen. Now, you know you're born, right? When were you born? What date? 4th of November. Do you remember the year? Were you there? Yeah. No, yeah. I just don't remember it. That's right. Did you say 2002? Wow, okay. She's one of those millennial babies, you know, whatever. All right. But anyway, okay. So you were born. There was a day. There was a time. You actually celebrated, don't you? You actually like lots of presents on your birthday, don't you? Right. Because there was a day and a time when you were born into this world. Listen, there has to have been a day and a time when you got born again. Right? Now, you may not rejoice that much over it, but there was rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented and got saved. You get the Holy Spirit at your salvation. Let's look at three verses here. Four verses. John chapter 7. The Gospel of John chapter 7. John chapter 7 verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and what? And drink." Now again, it's the Passover feast. There's a lot of celebrating. They're remembering their deliverance from Egypt and their bondage. They're all rejoicing. They're eating. And he says, "If anybody's still thirsty, come to me and get a drink." Verse 38, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." You get one drink and out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. But verse 39 says, "But this spake he of the what? Of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Had not been resurrected yet. Now, you get the Holy Spirit of salvation, you get a drink. Let me show you three things, all right? Did you know you received Christ himself when you got saved? Go to John. These are all going to be in John, so you'll be able to find these fairly easy. Go back to chapter 1 and verse 10. John, chapter 1 and verse 10. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Can you imagine Jesus walking around, and he was the designer, the creator of everything, and nobody realized who he was? He came into his own people, and his own received him not. What did they end up doing to him? They crucified him, didn't they? But as many as received him, do you see the words? As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when you got saved, you actually received, you actually took in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But it didn't stop there. Go to John chapter 14. The Father came in with him. John chapter 14 and verse 23. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." And notice these words, "And we," who's the we? "I and my Father, we will come unto him and will make our abode with him." So Jesus brings his Father with him. You say, "Well, I trusted Jesus." Yeah, but he brought God the Father into your life too. But he didn't finish. Look at one more. The Holy Spirit came along too. John 14, verse 17. Still in John 14, verse 7. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not." The world says, "I'm not going to believe until I see." Well, that's stupid. You believe in germs, don't you? "Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you." And Jesus says, "And shall be where?" All right, now Jesus is speaking before the crucifixion the burial, and the resurrection. And Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. When I go up, He's coming down. So we receive Christ, kind of like pouring three paints together. The best illustration I could do. Started off there, you receive Jesus Christ. Then the Father came along with Him, and you got the Holy Spirit. All when you got what? Not when you get baptized, not when you started reading your Bible, not when you started going to church, but when you received Christ, you got all three of them. You got the Holy Spirit the moment you got saved. Now, by way of background, I want to keep going. You cannot lose the Holy Spirit's presence, at least not in total. And just like this fella, you ought to go, whew, okay? The Holy Spirit lives permanently in every Christian. Go to Romans chapter 8 to the right. Romans chapter 8. We read there in Ephesians, it does not tell you that you must get the Holy Spirit. Anybody remember what Ephesians 5:18 said? What did it say? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is this excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say, go get the Holy Spirit. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. I already got the Holy Spirit. Question is, am I filled with Him? So we look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Romans 8, 9 says this. It says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you're born again. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If He dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, guess what? He is none of His. Either you have the Holy Spirit in you, or you don't. And I got a question for you. If the Holy Spirit is not in me, Leo, then I don't belong to Christ. But if I have the Holy Spirit, then I'm saved. So, it's either one. You cannot. I actually, folks, when I first got saved, and I first started soul winning, and I knocked on a door, I remember this woman looking at me saying, wow, you've got a lot of energy. When did you get saved? She was a Christian. And I said, I just got saved. I don't know, a few months back or whatever. And I said, are you saved? She said, yes, I got saved. But she said, have you received the Spirit yet? And I went, I don't know. I didn't know. All I knew was I was a sinner. Jesus was a friend of sinners. I knew I bowed the knee. I cried out as a sinner to an all-holy God who gave His Son for my sin, who only waited for me just to ask and He would save me. I just remember getting saved. She said, you need the Holy Spirit. I didn't know. I already had Him. Okay. Bible says either you got Him or you don't. There's not a third thing where you're saved and then you get the Spirit. No. I got the Spirit the moment I got saved. Go to Galatians 3 now. Galatians 3. To the right. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians chapter 3. For time, I'm kind of just reading this instead of having you guys read it, so just stay with me. Galatians 3 and verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Galatians 3 and verse 2. This is what I want to learn from you guys, Paul asks. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law? Or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? How many of you want to answer? Who can answer? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were doing all the commandments? No way. There is no way to receive the Spirit by the works of the law. We received it by the hearing of faith. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Now, he's talking to Christians. He's saying, guys, did you get the Holy Spirit because you were doing good works? Of course not. Well, then are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Listen, I received the Spirit the moment I got saved. Let me say this, and we're going to say it in just a few minutes. Your flesh doesn't determine whether the Holy Spirit's in you or not. It will determine how much of the Holy Spirit is in you, but not whether He's there. You received Him by faith, and by the way, He stays in you just simply because that's where He wants to be. Thank God. Look at, still in Galatians chapter 4 now, to the right in verse 6. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Watch this. Galatians 4 and verse 6. And because ye are sons, did you notice that? Because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying,
Abba, Daddy, Father.
Wherefore, verse 7 says this, thou art no more a what? That was a servant of sin. I wanted at least to do something right and be a servant of God, but God didn't accept me as a servant. What did He accept me as? A son. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of Bill Gates. Is that what it says? I mean, it'd be nice to be on his inheritance. Wouldn't it be nice to wait for Bill Gates to die and leave you some money? But I'm a whole lot better than that. I'm an heir of God through Christ. All right, so this is the point, folks. In Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7, you have a truth that you're not a servant. Did you know if you have a servant, if you hire a servant, you know what you do with a servant when he doesn't or she doesn't perform? You fire him. Amen? But what do you do with the kid that's not performing? You can't fire them. All right? You can chasten them. You can correct them. But I'm a son of God, and He can't get rid of me now. Amen? He's stuck with me. Hallelujah. All right. We're not servants. We've been made sons and daughters of God. Ephesians chapter 1. Go one more book, just like two, three pages to the right. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. I'm telling you, I love it. Think about it. I'm saved. Amen? I got the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted. We'll go to verse 12. That ye should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in who? How many people are around us trusting in Mary tonight? How many people are trusting in the Almighty Euro? How many people are trusting in the Kenny? It's getting smaller and smaller every day. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now, I'm going to talk about this in just a moment, but the Holy Spirit lives permanently inside of you because He sealed Himself inside. All right? When He got in, He riveted Himself inside. He sealed Himself, and He has sealed me until the purchase of possession. We'll talk about that in a few more minutes. Secondly, our good works never could earn His grace. What is grace? It is unmerited favor. I like to say it's God's unconditional givingness. He just says, here. You can't earn it. He's already offered it. Who does He offer it to? Ungodly. That's who He offers it to. Our good works could not earn His kindness to us, His grace. He already wanted to give. And neither can our good works earn us His grace now that we are saved. Go to Romans chapter 4. Go back to the left. Romans chapter 4. It's all background. In verse 1, Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, by his good works, he hath whereof to glory, to boast, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham simply did what? Believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Why does God save us? Because He owes it to us? Do you know when I got saved 34 years ago, I got saved not because God owed it to me, it's because God offered it to me. And I was, at least for once in my life, smart enough to take it. So verse 5 says, but to him that worketh not, but just believeth on him that justifieth the... Put your name in there. The ungodly. His faith, the faith of an ungodly person, is counted for righteousness. Chapter 5. Listen, our good works could not earn His grace. Our good works can't keep His grace, folks. If Jesus died for us when we were yet enemies, and we were, how much more will He now work with us after we become born again? Look at verse 8, chapter 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet, what kind of people? Sinners. Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know what atonement means? Full payment. That's another word for propitiation. It is the fact that all sins, past, present, and future, are atoned for, paid for, in full. You can't listen. If all of that has been done, the Holy Spirit cannot be taken away from you. It just ain't going to happen. Now, I'll talk about this more later on because it's a question. It's a question. Can't you lose the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to say no. He can pull back. He can go quiet. He can shrink in your life while the other things get bigger. Do you remember John the Baptist? What did John the Baptist say about himself and Christ? He must increase. I must decrease. So there is an exchange. The more of me there is, the less of Him there is. The less of me there is in my life allows for more of Him. Okay? So, we're looking at this thing. Not that all of a sudden, how many of you ever, when I was a kid, the worst feeling you can have as a kid is to lay in a hot bathtub. When I say the worst feeling, it's just the most uncomfortable feeling. It was weird. You're laying in the bathtub in the hot water, and then your mom says, get out of the bathtub. You say, okay. So you pull the plug, and you lay there, and the water drains. And you're laying there, and you go, this is the most uncomfortable feeling in the planet. No water, you're uncomfortable in the bathtub. The Holy Spirit will never drain completely out of your life. He will always be there. And that's why you can go, whew. Why is this presence important? Couple of things that are very important. Number one, He seals you. Good example would be you take a package. And if you're going to mail a package, would you leave it open? Say, John and Ruth are going to America in 3 weeks. Is that right? It's coming up fast. Going to go see Sharon and grandbabies over there. Going to go see Joshua down in Texas. Going to go see the Holy Land and all that. Well, when they're there, maybe they see something and say, oh, Mom would love this. So they buy a gift. I don't know what she would like. I don't know. But they buy a jumper. And then they put it in this box, and then they bring the box to the post office. They stick the address on there, but it's left open. How many of you want to wager that it's going to arrive here with something in it? It ain't going to arrive with anything in it, is it? No. You seal it, don't you? And the Holy Spirit seals us until the day that we're picked up and taken home to heaven, until the day of redemption. I need you to understand that the Holy Spirit seals us. Secondly, He helps us pray. I like this cartoon. Here's this guy saying, Lord, I don't know how to pray as I should. And the Lord says, do you want some help? The Holy Spirit helps us pray if you listen to Him. Without the Holy Spirit working in your prayer life, your prayers are as dead as the chair you're sitting in. He also strengthens you. Look at Ephesians. Go to the right back. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. He'll strengthen you. Listen, as a Christian, without the Holy Spirit, do you know what the devil will do to you? He will devour you. The only reason why you're still alive is because God has a purpose for you. If the Holy Spirit was not at work in your life as a Christian, the devil would mincemeat you. You ever watched a mincing machine? They take these big chunks of meat and they put it in this hopper, and then this guy goes, what comes out the bottom? Mince What does the devil do to us? Man, he just shreds us if we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. He strengthens you so you can stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His what? By His Spirit. Where? In the inner man. Some of you may be tired, maybe physically worn out. Listen, you need some rest. You need to get that picked up. You need some vitamins. You need exercise. I know all that stuff. But you need strength in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. Not in anger, not in wrath, not in frustration. Okay, He strengthens you. And lastly, He fills you so that you can walk with God in this world. God did not call you and save you to be happy. I love being happy. I love smiling. I think it's infectious, amen? God didn't save me to be happy. Sometimes there are going to be times where there are tears, amen? Sometimes there are going to be long, dark valleys you've got to go through. You know what He saved me to be? Holy. Holy. And I can't be holy without the Holy Spirit at work in my life. I know there are a lot of people who claim to be, I'm filled with the Spirit, and yet they live the most ungodly life imaginable privately. You see, if the Holy Spirit is in you, you'll be holy if you're full of Him. So His presence is very important. Now, amazingly, you've got to just think about this. Somebody quote for me again, Ephesians 5:18. We go over and over and over this. Who can quote it? Yes? Think about it. He wants to fill us. Be filled with the Spirit. It seems like if I were God, I would not want to be filling your life. I wouldn't want to be in... it's amazing that Kathy wants to be in dance. It's got to be love, amen? Got to be. Amen. What is it that God would want to fill a wretch like me, amen? You think about it. But He wants to. It's an amazing thing that the Holy Spirit wants to fill us. And this is fundamental, folks. He didn't want to just save me. I'm glad He wanted to save me. But He wanted to fill me with all of Him that I can hold. Now, who was filled with the Spirit without measure? Jesus Christ. He was filled with all of the Holy Spirit. But whatever I can hold, I want to be filled with. All right? Now, look. Rebecca here. She may not be able to be filled with the Spirit to the level that his daddy is, but she can be filled, can't she? Amen? Whatever you can hold, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to fill. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be occupied with. He wants to occupy me. I kind of wrote a little poem. Every minute of time, every remembrance of mine, every dark closet I hold, every past sorrow untold, God's Holy Spirit wants to fill and bring life and light into me. I may have dark parts of my past. I may have things and sorrows I've never been able to tell anybody else. He wants to fill those parts of me. That's what filling is. I don't let Him fill my Sundays only. I let Him fill my Mondays and my Tuesdays. I don't let Him fill my happy days. I let Him fill my suicidal days. Amen? He wants to fill me, and I need to want to let Him. It means also to furnish me, as in to furnish a house. You buy a house, what do? Hey, especially if you're a woman, you fill it up. You fill it up. When the Holy Spirit moves in, He doesn't want to just sit in a corner. He wants to fill you up with Himself. To furnish you with every possible spiritual blessing of God. He wants to inflate you. How many of you have ever felt the hairs on the back of your neck rise? How many have ever been full of anger? Full of frustration? How many have been full of sorrow? All right. You know how to be full with the wrong things.
The Holy Spirit wants to inflate you, fill you with Himself. Without Him, I'm nothing. And He means to make me holy. 1 Peter 1:15 to 16, Peter quotes from Scripture and he says, "As it is written, be ye holy." I tell you what, that's an impossible task. The only way for me to be holy is by the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I walk with Him and I yield to Him and He makes me holy. Amen. Amen. He wants to fill me. But you can limit Him. Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. How can you limit the Holy Spirit of God? Psalm 78. Middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms 78. You can limit His work in your life and limit His fullness in your life. Psalm 78 and verse 41. Psalm 78 and verse 40. Go back to verse 40 because we're dealing with the nation of Israel. They came out of Egypt. They're in the wilderness, headed to the promised land. And look at how it writes in Psalm 78, verse 40. How oft did they provoke God in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. All right, I need, Kevin, if you come here for a second. Hold on to that. Kevin's the Holy Spirit tonight. I had Dan as God this morning. I've got Kevin, you're over here. All right. Now, Kevin, you're the Holy Spirit. You're in my life. All right? And I want you to try to move around and try to get wherever you want. And I welcome you into my life. Why don't you move over here? But don't go over here now. Okay? I kind of need you to stay over there. I really appreciate you being in my life. You're really a good... Hold on. He wants to get over to an area that needs help. He wants to get into an area of my life that's kind of got a lot of darkness in it. But every time he tries to get close, I say, I like you right there. And I can't, a weak as water, barely surviving Christian, can limit the Holy One of Israel. As he attempts, come on, try again, I can stop him. How flippant I am to the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is trying to work in my life and ought to be able, all right, I now realize you need to have full course, free course, be removed wherever he needs to go in my life. Okay, thank you. You can sit down. I want you to see that as believers, we like the Holy Spirit when he's doing what we expect. We like it when the Holy Spirit is making us feel nice and ooey gooey. You don't like it when he's got us by the throat going, you better get right. You don't like that. You don't like that. And when we resist that, when we fight that, he says, okay. That is a revelation for modern Christianity. Now, the way that you limit God is, first of all, and this is the most important thing, is by not caring about his feelings. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Marcus, have you ever known anybody who didn't care about your feelings and they just did something and just it just hurt you? You're not sure? Man, you lived a nice life. Wow, can I trade it? Think about it. How many people have just said things, done things without considering your feelings about it? We do it all the time. Did you know we say things and do things without wondering and worrying about his feelings? Genesis chapter 6. Back before the flood and the whole purpose for the flood. Look at verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. God's not up there in heaven sort of busy and he goes, what's going on down there? Oh, I can't be bothered. No, he sees what goes on right now in Cork City tonight. He sees what's going on right now in New York City, in London, in Paris. He sees what's going on inside of people's homes. He sees what's going on inside the television there and in people's arguments and in people's fights. He sees what's going on and the filth and the wickedness. He knows what's going on. And he's not immune to being grieved in his heart. Look at chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20. Sometimes you get grieved. Well, believe me, the Holy Spirit also is. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20. And the Lord said, and He's looking out at Sodom and Gomorrah in the wicked sin of those cities. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very... He says, it hurts me to know what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. So I will go down now, and I will see for myself whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is coming to me, and if not, I will know. God destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, doesn't He? You know how you can limit the Holy Spirit? Go to Ephesians chapter 4 now and watch the New Testament word. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 30. Are you with me? Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 30. And grieve, there's our word. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Remember, I'm sealed, I'm a package sealed, ready to be picked up and taken where? Taken to heaven. I've got a guaranteed delivery, amen? But until that day, what do I got to worry about? Grieving the Holy Spirit. You and I worry about everyone else's feelings. I wonder if I hurt their feelings. At least we should. Sometimes, more often than we should, we worry about how we're feeling. But a Christian is supposed to worry about offending the Holy Spirit. Did you know, look at verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And he tells us how we end up grieving them. By our what? What's the first? By our bitterness. Did you know any bitterness in your heart he's having to mess with? Where's the Holy Spirit? He's in you. And if bitterness is in there, it conflicts with him. It grieves him. How much bitterness should be in my life? None. Doesn't mean you don't get upset at sin. Doesn't mean that you don't deal with somebody who's doing something wrong. You got to fix some things. But when you let it go on and you let it go on and it becomes frustration, and then frustration unresolved becomes anger. And anger, when it's out of control, it turns into bitterness. Let all bitterness, any bitterness grieves him. Let's just read it there. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, they're different. And clamor is yelling. And evil speaking, that's talking bad about somebody, be put away from you with all malice. So, any bitterness grieves him. Any wrath that I get into where I'm just so full of, I'm going to kill you! Should that be in a Christian's vocabulary? No, I want to kill him a little bit. Can't even have a little bit of wrath. I need anger. You get anger, it comes up there. God says, get it done, get it over with, get it out of you by the end of the day. Any anger grieves him. Any clamor. You find yourself just yelling, just spouting off, just giving out. What's the Holy Spirit doing? You say, that doesn't matter. You know what? If God was grieved by the sin of Genesis chapter 6, and it resulted in the flood of an entire planet, you better realize when the Holy Spirit is grieved, it is dangerous. It's dangerous when a Christian grieves the one who is there to make us holy, and yet we're filled with the wrong thing. Any clamor, any evil speaking, grieving. I don't like talking bad about people. I mean, sometimes I catch myself and I say, oh, Dan. No, I don't say that. But Dan's a blessing. Kevin's a blessing. I mean, there's nothing But you know, there are some people in my life that just rub the wrong way. Well, they're okay to talk bad about, right? No. Any evil speaking grieves him. Any malice. Malice is you scheme to pay them back. It grieves him. Folks, listen. When we don't care about his feelings, we just go on to do our own thing. You know what he does? He shrinks back into the corner. And he's not at work. Second thing that will limit him in your life is by not yielding to his tugging. Go to John 16. Gospel of John, verse 16. John 16, 8, and also find Acts 7. Oh, do you remember the last part, the next two verses? Actually, the next verse after it says, let all bitterness and wrath and evil speaking and clamor be put away from you. The next verse tells you, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ also forgave you. Do you know why we're kind to one another? Not because it's the nice thing to do. Do you know why it's important for us to be kind, forgiving to one another? So that we're not grieving the Holy Spirit. So I can't get bitter, and I must forgive. Why? So that I don't grieve the Holy Spirit, and I don't limit His work in my life. Why are we powerless today? Why do we strudge along, barely surviving as Christians? It's because the powerhouse, the Holy Spirit of God, has been shoved into a corner of our life, and He does not feel free to do His work. The second thing that's very important is John 16 and verse 8 says this. When He is come, the Holy Spirit is come, He will reprove the world of what? And of righteousness and of judgment. Folks, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you know what He's mainly going to be working on? Sin. And so when He tugs, as pastor preaches, and for a brief, flittering moment, you have this little bulb over your head, and you go, oh, He's talking about me. Hold that thought and go, Lord, don't let me lose what You're trying to do in my life. Don't let me miss what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to me about. Did you know I don't have, this is for Dan right here. I don't have that on here. This is for Damien. Oh, this is for Shanann. This is for Nita. No, no. Whatever I'm saying, if the Holy Spirit says, that's for you, don't frustrate His work in your life when He's working on you. Don't ignore the tugging on your life when He works on a sin in your life. Acts 7:51. Go to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, you've got Stephen preaching. He's preaching to a crowd of angry religious Jews. Acts chapter 7. Especially the Pharisees. And he says in Acts chapter 7, verse 51, listen to his words. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so did ye. If you know anything about Acts chapter 7, the whole chapter is one man preaching. And as Stephen preached, and he poured his heart out, and he pled with them, as he begged them to not miss what Christ had done and how He had died for them. Look at the reaction. Go back. I keep going in verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to. Do you remember the last time when the preaching of the Bible just cut you and it cut you deep to the heart? They were cut to the heart, and then what did they do? They gnashed on Him with their teeth. But He, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God. He wasn't put off by their anger. And He said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and they ran upon Him one accord. They cast Him out of the city and they stoned Him. Whew! I heard a man preach one time and he said, you know, the goal of my life is to do one of two things, make you mad or make you glad. But I haven't done my job until I've gotten something out of you. And that's true. That's true. I can't guarantee what's going to come out. I just want to make sure something comes out of you emotionally. Amen. And when he preached, it cut them to heart and they killed him. They resisted the pulling of the Holy Spirit. You do resist the Holy Ghost just like your fathers always did. That'll limit the Holy Spirit in your life. By sitting in church and going, "You're not going to move me." Third, by not honoring Jesus. Back to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, John 16, 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. I got a question. If the Holy Spirit is in me, what is his focus? Do you know what his main focus is? Honoring and lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. So when he's in my life, he's not trying to draw my attention on him. He's not trying to draw my attention on the blessings of God and the goodness of God. He's trying to tell us about what's upcoming. And by the way, Jesus is coming back very soon. Amen? But when we look at verse 14, and he shall glorify, who's talking? Jesus is talking. The Holy Spirit shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He'll receive my glory and show it unto you. So here's the point. How do we end up not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our life? Is when we don't want to listen to anything about Jesus. We want to hear about being successful. We want to hear about being a happy Christian. We want to hear about how to have a happy family and how to have a good job. And you know what we need to hear? How to worship Jesus Christ right. And how to honor Him in our home, how to honor Him with our lips, with our lives. When we think, and that's what that television is doing, 24/7, it's telling us all the things for us to be focused on. When the Holy Spirit's off in a corner saying, "Hey, hey, Jesus is everything you need." And we go, "Shh, you're interrupting my commercial." One other way you can limit the Holy Spirit: by abusing your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. What? Sounds like my mother, doesn't it? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of who? Which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God, where? Two places. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. Hey, when you are abusing your body, which is, that's the temple of the Holy Ghost. What if somebody pass by and threw, I don't know, threw manure in here while we're trying to have church? Man, it would just be rude, wouldn't it? It would just make it so it would be hard to have church, wouldn't it? Fresh manure kind of just makes everybody's stomach turn. What do you put into your life so that you can't, so the Holy Spirit can't feel welcome? What are you putting into your eyes and your ears, into your life? When we abuse our body, I'm talking about Christians who think it's okay to drink. Are you serious? Be not drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. You can't mix the two. Anything you're doing that is intoxicating, that is dominating your life, anything will push him out, push him over to a corner, and make it so that he's not at work in your life. you can limit the Holy One of Israel. Now, next Sunday evening, I'm actually going to give you the oil dipstick, how to find out how full you are of the Holy Spirit, how to test to see if you're full of Him or you're full of you. Let's do a review. You get the Holy Spirit at salvation. You don't get Him, and then a few months later, you don't get saved, and a few months later, get the Holy Spirit. No, it doesn't work that way. Secondly, you can never lose the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. He can become very small or He can become very big. It depends upon your reaction to Him. Thirdly, His presence is very important. How many of you are aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit? We're not. Because we don't value His presence. We don't sense. It's not there. You know, when need is not around, I mean, the house just doesn't work. I mean, I try to keep things going. And she's a whiz, amen? Any other guy like that? Anybody else? Amen? I don't know what the house was like when you came, but I bet he worked for a week to get it ready for you to come back. When the Holy Spirit's not at work in your life, you ought to be very aware of it. We're not, and that's a shame. His presence is very important. Amazingly, according to Ephesians 5:18, He wants to fill us. But you can limit His fill, and you can block it and say, that's enough, that's all I want, I don't want to fill anymore. How can you do it? Anybody remember? By not caring about His feelings, grieving. What was the second thing? Anybody remember? By not yielding to His tugging when He begins to pull and say, hey, make a move. You need to say you're sorry to somebody. You need to humble yourself. You need to get right. You need to deal with this sin. You need to openly go out and start testifying and telling people how to get saved. When He begins to tug on your heart and you go, no! The Holy Spirit says, okay. What? And you wonder why, day after day, you feel like dying. By not honoring and worshiping Jesus. You know, if your house isn't a place of worship, if you wait for church to worship, you're waiting too long. I mean, this body of mine is a place of worship. I need to tell you, we're sitting there singing around the house. Sarah goes, it's the same song, Mom. Can you change the tune? Because we get to singing the same thing. But you know what we're doing? We're worshiping, aren't we? Amen. Amen. That's how your life ought to be. And by abusing your body, by thinking it doesn't matter what you put in it, by thinking it doesn't matter what you do with it, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.